Welcome to This Week in Craft Beer, the podcast, the weekly show where we interview the people making the magic happen in the UK craft beer scene. This Week in Craft Beer publishes the UK's leading craft beer newsletter every Monday morning by email. To subscribe for free, please visit www.thisweekincraft.beer. This Week in Craft Beer would like to thank our generous Patreon supporters, Phantom Brewing Co., Bayonet Brewing Co., Dolphin Brewery, Berkshire Beer Box, The Small Batch Brewing Co., Belgium and Blues Southampton, Doug Thayer, Robert Baker, Aid Bardi, The Brew Brothers, Paul Whelan, Bettina Cassidy, Forks Brewery, Claire Costa, James Cox, Craig Hatton, James Moss, John Mead and Craft Beerings. So I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast this evening Adam and Joe from Next Stamper Brewing, based in Leighton in northeast London. Adam founded Next Stamper in 2016 after a varied early career encompassing both Formula One and banking, whilst Joe brewed at Sandbrooks, Hackney and Beavertown prior to joining Next Stamper in 2021. Gents, please introduce yourselves and tell us about your beer journeys which led you to Next Stamper.
Hi there, I'm Adam and I'm the founder of Next Stamper.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Joe, and I'm the lead brewer at Next Stamper.
Excellent. Well, welcome, guys. Thanks very much for joining me this evening. Adam, let's talk about your beer journey first, then. So what were your sort of your earliest memories of beer and then craft beer? And at what stage did you start to think, yeah, what I really need to be doing is not working in banking, but rather running a brewery?
Okay. So as you said in the introduction, I've got a bit of a varied background, although ending up probably quite a common path these days, coming from banking, passion for home brewing, and then setting up a brewery. So I guess my beer journey started, well, when I turned 18, obviously enjoying a beer then. But more recently, I guess it was back in about 2013, 2014, I started thinking about what I wanted to do, where I wanted my career, my life to go. Yep. And at that point, I really started getting stuck into home brewing. I don't know whether you remember, but back in about around that time, BrewDog had a bottle shop and a homebrew shop. Yeah. Grazing Road. And that's where I went and got my first homebrew kit, thanks to the guys running the shop. And it was a great start to the journey, really.
Yeah.
And then I got stuck into homebrewing, brewing one or two batches, some good, some bad, at home during the week while still working. And I guess one thing led to another, and I took the plunge, quit the day job, and started really looking for a place to set up a brewery.
Brilliant. I need to take you back briefly to your time at McLaren, because I know I'm personally not an F1 fan, but I know that, you know, the vast majority of the UK population are obsessed with Formula One. So what was that like? How did you get in there? And, you know, what was it? Was it a fun experience? You had an engineering role there, I think, didn't you?
Yeah. So I graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering, starting off life working for Land Rover, which was fun. And then after a couple of years there, I applied and got the job for McLaren, which was, it was my dream when I was at school. I wanted to work for Formula One, and I always wanted to work for McLaren. So it was a dream come true. And I was at McLaren for 5 or 6 years. Great fun, great place to work, great people.
And they were, I mean, as I say, I've just confessed I'm not much of a Formula One fan, but were those championship years for McLaren back in the day when they were dominant?
They were good. It was the time when Lewis Hamilton joined McLaren. So it was good time. So I remember being on Lewis Hamilton's first track test, which was a good experience. And then, I mean, I look at where my career has gone, and I've done a few varied things since then, and he's still there driving.
So, yeah.
Takes you back. Good fun, good team.
Brilliant. Well, thanks. Yeah, good intro. Thanks very much for that. We'll come back and we'll pick up the Next Stamper story from its origin in a moment. But Joe, let's have your beer story. So how did you get into, I guess, you know, what were your beer memories early on, and then how did you get into brewing?
Well, it's a funny one really with me. I had quite an odd career path. So I did a philosophy degree many years ago, which, and then went into construction for about 10 years. So I was doing project management on quite big hospital-y projects and stuff like that. And I did that for quite a while, and it was sort of a very stressful job, really. And after quite a while of that, it was a friend of mine, my brother-in-law, basically, invite me around to do a homebrew one day, and it was over the first homebrew I'd ever done with him,
Right.
that we sort of cracked a plan, or he had this idea to open a home brewing place. So we did that. So we set that up. That's how I kind of got into it.
Okay.
We set up a little place where you could come and make your own beer that was
Yeah,
called Brew
whereabouts
Club.
was that?
That was in London. It was in
Okay.
Clapton,
Okay.
in London.
Yep.
So I did that for about 3 years, and then decided to go into professional brewing. And that's when I went to Sandbrooks. So I
Sandbrooks,
started
yeah.
at Sandbrooks Brewery. Then I went to Hackney Brewery, then Beavertown, and now Next Stamper.
Cool. So
So I've sort of been around.
you have indeed. And your time at Beavertown was post Heineken.
They had, I think Heineken were 50% ownership when I
Right,
was there.
yes. And then
And
they own, yeah.
I was in the stadium. So in the Tottenham Stadium, they've got a
Okay,
little
yeah.
brewery built in. So it's a
Nice,
pretty cool, pretty amazing setup,
I
really. So that
bet,
was, but yeah, it's
yeah.
quite fun.
No, it's interesting because I first met Joe at the brew club when he invited me down for a meet the homebrew team and tap takeover. And
Oh, nice.
this is way before,
That's
obviously, before
right.
Joe was professionally brewing. That's our paths crossed again, which was
You didn't stay in
good.
contact. That was just
Yeah.
a sort of a
We
chance encounter and
sort of probably saw each other maybe at some event here and there, but
I think
yeah.
the odd beer festival, yeah. And then
Ooh.
yeah, so it was really nice for me to then go back to Next Amper sort of all those years later, you know, it was
Yeah, indeed.
yeah.
Excellent. Well, so then next damper, Adam.
Yes.
As you say, you were home brewing and you decided, yeah, maybe this is for me. Should we start with the name?
Yes.
Because you've got a
Get
great
a lot
story
of
attached
questions.
to it, which I've read this afternoon on your website.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions about the name. This is actually myself and my brother sat down and we were thinking about what I was setting up the brewery, what should we call it? And we both agreed that we wanted something that stood out on the bar.
Yes.
Obviously, around this time, 2016, 2017, there were a lot of new breweries starting up and the bars were getting quite crowded. And so we thought we want something that stands out and something that has a backstory. And
Yeah.
we were both looking at long lists, sort of sharing lists of potential name. And one that we both sort of independently came to was Next Damper. I don't know, we like it. We don't think anything of it when we speak to people, but anyone new to the brewery sort of like, oh my God, what's
Yeah, it
going on
sounds
there
terribly
with that
violent
name?
and sort of quite threatening, doesn't it, Brett?
It does. So, can assure you can see it. You can see us. We're not very threatening people. So, it's nothing like that. But yeah. So to go back where it came from. So, back in 1700 in London, the pub sent out beer to the big private estates that were dotted around London.
Right.
So, take away beer, and then the pot boys and girls used to be sent out to go and collect the empties. So this was really the tankards or the pewter
More like
pot.
colour flagons, I guess, or sort of
Yeah, I guess flagons.
multi-pint kind of containers.
Exactly. Yeah, your growlers. Back in 1700. And so these guys went out to collect them and they picked them up and they were strung around their necks. Of course, was the best way to carry the empties. And they were stamping the streets. So these guys were called the neck stampers. They were collecting the empties, stamping the streets, having them around their neck. But
Great.
that was where the name came from. So, I mean, when we explain it to people, they like it. They like the
Yeah,
story behind it. And then
definitely.
all our beer names as well, they've all got similar sort of
That's right. You've also
either.
got, great history in your beer names. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, which is fun. It's fun. The more beers you release, the harder it gets to come up with names so you don't have a story.
I don't remember who it was, a few years ago, somebody said to me that a brewery name needs to have three syllables. And the reason for that is so that, in a crowded, noisy bar, when somebody, says, "I'd like the next damper, please," it's easily audible to the bar staff. So you pass that test. I'm pleased with that.
What were the other criteria? Not violent.
Good. So, having arrived at the name, then you set up in the same premises you are now, or have you had a journey?
Yeah, no. I mean, around that time, it was pretty hard to find a suitable industrial space. Well, I found it very hard. I lived North London, so I was sort of looking around the King's Cross area, and at that time, King's Cross was being redeveloped, and it meant that all the industrial businesses that were there were being pushed further out of London.
Yeah, what would
So
have been
they
a suitable industrial space was being demolished for a posh new block of apartments or whatever in King's Cross.
Exactly. So it's sort of squeezing. There was not much available. And so I was looking everywhere. And this unit came up in Leyton. We're sort of South Walthamstow, Leyton border. Very close to ELB, London Brewing, and Nirvana, the alcohol-free guys. They're on the same
Right.
estate.
Yeah.
And this unit came up, and it was strange because my landlord is residential, and he had one industrial unit, which I just sort of happened to find, and then it was pretty perfect, really. He was very relaxed what I could do with it. He didn't seem to mind putting a brewery in, changing the floor, putting a chimney.
Nice.
So it all worked out nicely up till there. So good.
Fantastic. And what have you got in terms of brew kit, Joe?
And the brew kit, so it's a Dave Porter
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
10 barrel. There's quite a lot of Dave Porter kits around
Yes, there are.
London.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
actually I used Hackney have a very similar, slightly larger
Right.
kit, so it was quite easy to get the hang of, if you like.
It's well understood technology, and yeah, in skilled hands can produce great
Yeah,
beer. Yeah, absolutely.
it's quite simple, really. It's quite
Yeah. What do you
nice
got in terms of FEs?
got 6 FVs, a couple of DPVs, yeah, and that's it at the moment, but yeah, they're all pretty full.
Cool. Yeah, and so how often are you brewing?
We tend to brew once or twice a week, occasionally slightly more, so yeah.
So you're re releasing beers at about that same sort of cadence, five, six a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Okay, excellent. And you've also got a tap room, I believe.
Yeah, so the tap room is in the brewery, so it's really a clean up on a Friday afternoon, make a move, shuffle stuff
It's kind
around.
of like a yeah, get your sort of your tap room head on, clear the clutter out of the way, set some tables up, and you're ready to go. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's Saturday afternoon only. But people pop in to pick up cans for takeaway other times, which is fine. In the summer, it's good. There's a lot of outside space, and
Nice.
gets quite a lot of sun. In the winter, it's challenging. We keep it going. We've got a good set of locals who come in every week, very supportive, which is nice. But yeah, it's really for April time. It's better. And then over the summer months, we've been opening on Friday afternoons, which is good for the people on the industrial estate to
Lovely.
have a bit of communication chat. It's good.
Oh, definitely. And I'm a massive fan of sitting in a, I don't, you know, it can be as rustic as you like. If I'm sitting sort of all arm's length of where the beer was produced, I'm happy. And, you know, and I
Less
don't
than
mind
arm's
if I have
length
to
in that
wear my
case.
coat and, and even I wear my gloves and a hat in the winter, it's all good. I'll still have a big smile on my face drinking fresh beer.
You get on very well with the locals who come along every week.
Excellent. And talking about drinking fresh beer, we are cracking into your 5.5% hazy pale, which is called Too Lush. You very kindly sent me really comprehensive tasting notes, so let me read those and then I'll get your background story on the beer. So, tasting notes say, "To Lush is old slang for to drink and is the name of our series of small batch specials. This is number 10. Hazy, soft, and tropical with notes of grapes. We used YCH303 trial hops, a co-pelleted cryo hop, and Phantasm pellet. Phantasm is derived from grape skins and combined with a thiol-releasing yeast, enhances fruity aromas and flavors." Yeah, this is absolutely gorgeous, to be honest with you. There's amazing fruity flavors in this beer. I'm I just commented when I opened it. I'm getting sort of a lovely tropical note, and then almost like a sort of a limey sort of citrusy thing. And these fruit flavors are very sort of personal and subjective, aren't they? It's really hard to really pin down. But I can tell you this has got a lovely array of fruitiness coming off it. So really going down a treat this. Yeah, what's the background to this one, guys?
So I'll start on the, I guess, the theory. So Too Lush, this is number 10, as you said. But these are the beers that we enjoy brewing most. It sort of gives us an opportunity to try out new things, try out new yeast, try out new single hops or hop combinations. And so, yeah, number 10, this one, we wanted to try out something a little bit special for number 10, which is this YCH trial hop. And pass over to Joe to give a bit more detail on the actual beer, I guess.
Nice.
So this is with the Tulush series, they're always pretty hazy and big beers. I mean, this one 5.5%, it's not too heavy, but it's pretty thick, it's pretty unctuous. A lot of oats and wheat in it, sort of as a base. And then, yeah, the Phantasm was a really interesting one to use. So not only do we have the Phantasm, which we never use, we use this yeast called Hop Unlock, I think it was, which is a special yeast for unlocking those thiols, basically. So it's all about sort of biotransformation and
Yeah.
grape skin in the Phantasm helps to unlock that as well, basically. And it was a really interesting one that, so there was a period during fermentation where it got very sulfury and we were slightly worried, and it was actually, I believe that's down to the Phantasm and the yeast we use, because these sort of sulfur, the thiols are sort of sulfur based or have sulfur in them. But that cleared off, and then what came out was this, what we've got here, and I get sort of white grape quite heavily on this, and sort of a bit Nelson Savon, a bit like that
I can
hop.
see, yeah, kind of a Nelson-y note to it as well, yeah.
And a bit, yeah, and you said like tropical, I also think a little bit sort of passion fruity. But it's quite a nice mixture of fruity flavors,
It is,
really.
that's right, yeah, it's not in any way one-dimensional, no, it's lovely.
Yeah, because I mean, the hops in the Phantasm mix are Simcoe, Citra, and I think it's
Mosaic.
Simcoe, Citra, Mosaic, I think.
Right,
Yeah. So they're all quite familiar hops, but there is something a little bit different to this that I believe comes from all the biotransformation, the yeast, and this that's added grape skin. Yeah, really fun one to make. And yeah, pleased with how it came out.
Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, it's, you know, 5.5, it's sort of the upper end of a sort of a pintable kind of pale, isn't it? I'm sure, you know, people would be drinking it by the pint in your tap room, and yeah, it's going down the tree. This is a delicious first beer of the day, absolutely perfect. You mentioned a couple of close neighbours you got there in Leighton, but you're also, if you kind of squint a bit at the, you know, kind of on the end of the Black Horse beer mile, aren't you, or the Walthamstow beer mile, whatever you want to talk about it as well. So you're pretty well located, I think, there in terms of people being able to put together a nice little Saturday afternoon wander. You know, how far are you from the sort of the, you know, those southernmost breweries on the Black Horse Road?
If people do plan it well, they can sort of head down the Black Horse Beer Mile, then they can almost go over to the untraditional pub. Do you know that Pillars pub in Walthamstow? And then we're only about a 15-minute walk from there.
Not far, is it?
So
No. Yeah.
it would be nice to have a couple more
Oh
people
yeah,
in
you need
three.
just maybe one more opening up between you and them. Yeah, let's see if we can make that happen, shall we?
That would be good. Yeah. We do talk to ELB to get a tap room. Not yet.
But it's nice. Yeah, it's great. It's a great part of London that just seems to be getting more and more breweries and tap rooms. So terrific. And I mean, you're actually not that far from Pressure Drop, are you, as well, really? That'd be walkable.
Yeah,
So
it's sort of easy to get down the canal, really, isn't it?
yeah, good place to be located. And as you say, you get a decent footfall on a Saturday afternoon, do you? Got dare say you've got a fair amount of residential.
In the 7 or 8 years that we've been there, it's the amount of residential around has really picked up. They've built new flats, new tower blocks, and even the industrial estate when we moved in, there's a few workers' cafes, but now there's a lot more going on. There's
Oh, great.
there's Turning Earth Pottery, where people come and hire a potter's wheel and do that, and that's getting quite busy. Amazing Vietnamese cafe,
Nice.
other sort of bakeries and that sort of stuff. It's really changed quite a lot in the time we've been there, which is great for us.
And having decent food options close by as well is a key to a tap room, isn't it, really? Because if you can, the last thing you want is people to have a few beers and then think, oh no, I'm hungry and need to leave the
Definitely.
So you've got do you get food trucks in, or you've got sort of takeaways, within close
Yeah,
access?
we've just sorted something out with Yardsdale Pizza, so they'll deliver for
Oh,
free
nice.
to people. Because which is quite good, because some of the locals come in to have the pizza, because
Exactly. Yeah,
we're
that's
outside
it.
their delivery area. So if they want Yardsdale Pizza, they come to us, they can get it delivered.
Nice. And of course they're gonna have to have a couple of beers while they wait for the pizza to turn up. So yeah, that's a very
Yeah, worked out well.
nice arrangement all around. Yeah, appreciate that. Excellent. Gents, let's take a short break. This week in craft beer is sponsored by Hit Marketing Design, a design agency based in Essex offering professional marketing services across the UK. They specialise in graphic design, brand creation and web design, and can create anything from a fresh logo, new product branding, eye-catching adverts to a fully populated website. No fluff or filler. Real design for a competitive world. To find out more, visit hitmarketingdesign.co.uk. So I'm back with Adam and Joe from Next Stamper for the second half of the show. Gents, at this stage every week, I like to have a bit of fun and put the guest on the spot and ask them what is probably the only difficult question I ever ask anybody on this podcast, really. And that is, what makes you different? What is it you're doing at Next Stamper to differentiate yourselves from the relatively crowded North or Northeast London craft beer scene?
Yeah, so the beer scene around us is very crowded. It has some fantastic breweries on our doorstep, which is obviously great for everyone. But it is hard to stand out, so everyone is making fantastic beers. So I guess what makes us a little different is our name, as we touched on earlier, with Next Stamper, trying to bring back a bit of London brewing history with the name of the brewery and also all the names of the beers we make. So I guess that's a little bit different. Some of our favourite names, I suppose. Quencher is one of our core beers, and that's an old Victorian term for a thirst quenching beer.
Yeah, that's good though.
And that was the term when people had a hard day's work and they went to the pub. The first beer they had, which they just didn't decide really, they called
Couple of
the
quenchers, yeah, nice, yeah.
Quencher. Thirst quenching beers. That was a fun name.
Yeah, like that.
Other ones, what else we got? Elbow Crooker. That's our IPA, and that's basically crooking or bending the elbow.
Yeah.
Is an old slang term for a sessionable beer. You crooking the elbow to have another sip. That was a fun
Nice,
one.
yeah.
Some of the more obscure ones, which were specials, were, I love this name, Supernaculum. It's a term that was basically to drink the last drop. So you really enjoy the beer and you drank the very last drop, was called to
Okay.
drink the vernacular. So that was maybe where we're differentiating ourselves, but yeah,
Yeah.
it's a crowded market.
And have you got a little black book of, researched beer names to go to in years to come, or is it sort of a just in time kind of approach to that?
Yeah, we used to have a list, but we pretty much exhausted them, but now it's just in time for the research. Some of our regular pubs do suggest names for every now and again,
Nice.
which is helpful.
I feel like you could kind of crowdsource it to some extent, yeah.
I'd say as well, I think something that sets us apart a little bit as well is probably the amount of experimentation we do.
Nice, yeah.
Like we're constantly, and I mean I think all breweries do this to some extent, obviously, but I feel like we're very much quite keen on trying new things, be it little changes in technique or different ways of doing things, as well as ingredients. We do experiment with different yeasts a lot, different hops, hop products,
Nice.
and how and when we do stuff during the brewing process. A lot of this is stuff that me and Adam will notice the difference in the beers,
Yeah.
but others probably wouldn't. But like
No.
we obsess over it and go like, oh yeah, amazing. So we do this one thing 5 minutes in a different place, or it's like these sort of often incremental changes. But then I think what it means is, yeah, we're always making beer that we're very happy with,
Nice.
I think.
Yeah.
And this is really all the beers, but it's not just the specials, it's the core beers as well. We're doing sort of small tweak pretty much most batches really.
And we didn't touch on that earlier on, but so how many core beers would you have?
There's about I keep changing what's core, what's not core. So
Yeah.
there's about five core beers, which are pretty much available all the time.
Okay. Yeah, but you're still tweaking around the edges, even those recipes, yeah, each time.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That constant striving
Yeah,
for improvements is
exactly.
key, I think,
Nothing.
isn't it? If you're not doing that, you're resting on your laurels. So good to hear.
It makes it more interesting. Keeps
Of
it
course it does,
fun.
yeah.
Keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how boring it would be to brew the same beer 4 or 5 times a week. But I know a lot of brewers do that. In fact, probably the majority of brewers
Yeah,
doing that, aren't they?
that's
Yeah.
it. Yeah,
But I'm sure there's still a pride in the process, but it's
Yeah.
not challenging sort of experimentation that I'm sure that's the thing that really drives you. Yeah. Excellent. All very good. Makes sense to me. Thanks. Yeah. Happy with that as a differentiation. So, what are you excited about for this year then? Have you got any events you want to talk about, or festivals already in the calendar, or things that are coming up that are sort of
Yeah,
starting
so
to get your
I
attention?
guess we're going back to Brew London for the
Yep.
well, we haven't done that since I think 2019 was the last time. So going back there
Yeah, new
in
venue this year. It'd
April.
be interesting to just see how that turns out. Yeah.
Exactly, we see how it goes. It looks like a good spot, so that'll be fun. The Untraditional Pub, the Pillars Pub, they're doing a sort of local beer festival in
Right.
May, so we're going on to that. That's normally about 10 local breweries there, which is a nice relaxed
Nice size,
afternoon.
yeah.
Yeah, and we're in the process of trying to line up some a few collabs with some local, other local breweries. So,
Yep.
yeah, fingers crossed it'll come off there and we can get that going. That's always fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And you do a bit of cask as well, I think, do you? In addition to keg and can, or not so much?
Not so much, but it's interesting. We were having a chat about this earlier, as a few of our regular customers have been asking if we're doing some cask. I mean, Joe obviously doing a lot of cask when he was at Sandbrooks,
Yeah.
and we did for the great for Cameron in the Beer Festival.
Well, I saw you. Yeah, I think
Yeah,
when I was Googling this afternoon, I saw a mention of you in connection with Pig's Ear, which is why I mentioned it. Yeah.
they always ask us every year to do cask. We normally keg, just keg and can. And so we did actually do a couple of casks for them this year, which was fun.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, they liked it. Interesting.
And
It was a lager on cask, wasn't
oh, great.
it?
Well,
A
I must admit,
lager.
I'm fascinated by lager on cask. You so rarely get a chance to drink it.
It was an odd. I mean, it was. I really liked it actually, but we did the lager and an oatmeal stout. I think it was in cask,
Brilliant.
just sort of one-off casks from a bigger batch. We just cast, a couple, but it was nice, and it would be fun to offer a bit of cask. Be nice for, like Adam says, certain customers are really quite keen on it, and there's not that many breweries in a sense doing much cask in London. I
No.
mean, a lot of the little breweries are doing keg and can and not cask. So yeah, something we're thinking about.
Good. Yeah, and there's plenty of decent independent pubs as well, aren't there? And, the nice thing about being in such a
Yeah.
big city is even though it's still the vast majority of pubs, of course, are tied to the evil macros, you can still find there are still independent pubs in London that where I think an interesting beer, you would be able to get it in probably without too much trouble, at least I hope so. Excellent. Well, that sounds fun. What have you got beer release wise then, either in tank or sort of in the planning process that you're excited about, Joe?
Well, we've got a lemongrass lager in
Oh.
tank at the moment, which we were tasting earlier today, and that is, I think we're really happy with that one. So again, I mean, that's one that I've never used lemongrass. We used lemongrass and some lemon peel in it, and
Right.
I think that's gonna be a really super refreshing
That does sound interesting.
lager.
Yeah.
And then what else we got coming up? The next special, I mean, we'll be doing a two lush 11 before too long.
Yep.
So
So, how
we're
often are you doing
thinking
two
about
lashes? What? How many times a year typically?
that. For number 10, I looked back and had a look back at all of the ones. It was hard to remember from like 1 through to 10. And there's a point in about 20, I think it was 2018, we did about three, like one a month. And then there's a gap during COVID of like, it was almost 18 months we didn't do
Oh,
anything. And so it is quite variable.
yeah.
With number 11, we are thinking of it'll be fun to get some of our regulars to actually vote and see which one of the previous ones they like most,
That's a nice idea.
and bring that one back and
Yeah.
see what happens there.
It's quite funny that quite a lot of the locals remember certain two lushes. Like some would go, oh, I love two lush seven. Or, I know this will remember the number,
Love it.
and it won't remember necessarily what hops were in it or
No.
whatever else set it apart. But that's quite a nice thing, is so yeah, to potentially revisit one of those is quite fun.
Yeah, definitely. And and just New England pales or hazy pales are so sort of the dominant style, aren't they? To such an extent that, I think you could probably release one a month and it wouldn't be too many for the sort of drinking public. It might not suit the brand of the brewery or the way that you're trying to sort of position your range, but I don't think you could have a beer like that too frequently. People are never going to get tired of new variants, I don't think.
No, as you say, it's the one we enjoy brewing most, like thinking about it, coming up with what we're going to do.
There we go. Yeah, I think it needs to be more frequent. Excellent. Anything else you got in tank, Joe? Of
Otherwise, really, we've just
course,
been
mostly
brewing
on,
quite a lot to stock up on our beers. And I mean, then we always, it's funny because beers change a bit in popularity. So something like our Moon Cursor is, I'm brewing that this week, a couple of days, and that's become really popular. And we've always loved that beer. It's an
What style is
American
that, Joe?
pale ale. So American pale ale, 5.2%, I think it is. And it's a little bit dank. It's a little bit more bitterness to it than the more New England style beers we've made. And that's going down really well at the moment. And it's quite interesting that
No problem.
there's just these slight fluxes in what's popular or
Yeah.
fluctuations. And then otherwise we sort of toy with, because we've got sort of four or five-ish core beers with other specials. We've actually done quite a lot of specials, even since I've been there, which is sort of 2 years. So
Yeah.
we do also often toy with doing some of those again, and some we do semi-regularly, I suppose, and
Yeah.
some we did as one-offs, but we might revisit, which is, again, it's all great doing this and doing different styles,
Yeah.
we sometimes forget how many different beers we've made, I think.
Yeah. Well, I've really
You suddenly
changed.
find an old label and you go, oh, I forgot we did that, and then you're like, oh, that was a
Yeah,
wicked
we need
beer,
to do
we should
that
do it
one again.
again.
Yeah,
yeah
absolutely.
so
I've sort of changed my tune a bit over the last couple of years, to be honest with you. I was always the biggest, fanboy for, oh, new beer every time. Don't try and pump, fob me off with your cause. I need new every time, new. And I'm realizing that's actually firstly very unfair on anybody that's trying to run a brewery business, but also a bit childish, really. I think, that there's a great deal to be said, especially if you've got a really loyal customer base for bringing something back that they, you're talking about To Lush 7, great, brew it again, or almost any beer that's sold really well that your local customers really enjoyed, or your local customers, but you get the point, bring it back by all means. I don't think if you're brewing a beer once a year, that's not a core beer, is it? It's just a, it's a return of a good friend that you really enjoyed last year and you're looking forward to drink again this year. So, I think you can really mix it up, and I don't think there's any rules here. And I apologize to the brewing community of the UK for being such a hard taskmaster on new beers in years gone by.
We're the same though. If you go into a pub, you're generally gonna, we would quite often just choose a special from a brewery, is good. We want that, but yeah, core beers are probably pretty sensible, really.
Having said everything I've just said, I'm still just sort of doing a bit of self-analysis there. I'm still completely guilty of going in a tap room, opening up Untappd, seeing which ones I've had, and ordering the one I haven't. And I, you know, it and it doesn't matter if there's a beer on the board that, I absolutely adored and I had last week, and it was the best beer I had so far this year. God help me, if there's another beer on the board that I haven't had yet, I've got to have that one first, and I might come back to the amazing beer I had last week, but only after I've explored all the new options. So yeah, I'm still just as bad as I ever was, to be honest with you. I've just Anyway, let's move on and talk about Mizzle. 6% New England IPA. Tasting notes here say Mizzle is a cross between a mist and a drizzle. Too moist to be a mist, but not wet enough to be a full-on drizzle. An old English phrase, but still used today in Devon and Cornwall. We thought Mizzle perfectly described our New England IPA, a soft, misty brew, extensively hopped with the delicious combo of US hops, Citra, Eldorado, and Mosaic, to give a big, juicy New England IPA with a fresh, tropical fruit burst. Yes, another absolutely lovely beer. Yeah, just really nice balance again of lots of fruit flavors. I think if these are representative of your beers, the two we've had tonight, then I think you've really got it down in terms of getting that breadth of fruit flavor, not in any way sort of being at all one dimensional, which is really, really going down a treat. So lovely. What's the background to this one?
So this is one of our earlier core beers.
Okay.
Sorry, it's not core anymore. It was core, and then yeah, I'm trying to think. The first time brewed probably about 2018. It's evolved quite a lot since then. I guess trends have changed. It's now a lot hazier, a
Okay.
lot thicker than it was.
Yeah,
But
it's got a lovely mouthfeel to it.
that was the first time brewed, and since then we've brought in Little Mizzle, which is a 4.5% session version of this. I
Nice.
think you've got a can of that.
Yes, you did send me
Well,
one of those.
maybe,
Thank you.
yeah. So that one is now the core
Oh,
New
okay,
England
interesting.
IPA we
And
have.
that, but very much on trend. That's the way that the industry's going. Is six, 4.5 is the new six, isn't it? I'm afraid, or
So I mean, and Little Mizzle is most popular one of our beers
Is it? Yeah.
by quite a stretch. But yeah, this is the original version.
Right.
We did do a Mega Mizzle once, which was a stronger version of this. That
Nice.
was a one-off experiment. Yeah, that, but anyway, that was a bit of background to Mizzle. But yeah, Joe can probably talk a bit more about that. actual beer.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a New England IPA. So, like Adam says, we've sort of gradually pushed up the thickness and the haze on it, which is sort of really because that's what a lot of people want and still want, isn't it? It's a really thick, juicy New England IPA,
Definitely.
and it's quite low in bitterness, and as the style should be. And I think the hops really shine in it. I mean, we love El Dorado, obviously Citra, Mosaic, sort of everybody loves those. But we're big fans of El Dorado as well. It's
Leslie,
a bit of
don't
an
say it too much, but
undersung.
it can be a great hop, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a bit of an unsung hero, I think, for us. I think it's really a powerful hop. And it fits excellently in this. And yeah, so, and this is another one that we've, done tweaking as we've sort of gone. I think we've really reached it now. I don't think there's much more we can tweak on this to I think it's I don't think we can I don't
I'm
think we
sure we
can go
still
much
try. There's
hazier.
always tweaks. There
Yeah,
can always be tweaks.
we'll find something. But yeah, I mean, I think I really really happy with this beer. I think it looks lovely as well. It's
Yeah,
got
it
that
does.
really almost milky kind of
Lovely
look
sort
to
of,
it. Super pale.
golden milky sort of appearance, yeah. I bet it looks great in the sunshine.
Yes, with social media shots.
Excellent. No, well, it's another lovely beer.
Thank you. Excellent.
Just in terms of your range then. So, we've spoken about lagers and pales and New England's. What else typically do you have available in your tap room?
So we've got a porter, which is a pretty traditional London porter, a lot of brown malt in that called Bone Box Cooler. And that's
Nice.
we've got that's available all year round, obviously pretty seasonal, but we do have that available. So yes, we have Bone Box. We have one of our session beers, so that's either Elbow Crooker, which is a session IPA, or Little Mizzle, which is the session New England IPA. Gold Dropper is our lager. That's a gluten-free lager, which is a dry hop lager,
Nice.
which is what, 4.5%. We have that one too. And then we in the tap room, we normally have a stronger one. So at the moment, we've got the Two Lush, but we might have Squencher, which is 5.4%, or the Mizzle on one of those.
Nice.
That's
And in terms of specials, what else do you typically brew in terms of styles? Anything, off the reservation a bit further than that, or?
Yeah, I mean, we did a sour not long ago, didn't we? We've still got some cans of, which is a Berliner Weiss with strawberry and kiwi, wasn't it?
Nice.
Strawberry and kiwi, which was a bit different. I think that might be the first sour that was made at Next Amper, is it?
Oh,
Yeah.
yes.
So we do that. I suppose we do a, every year we do a green hop beer
Nice.
with hops from Adam's dad's garden. And
Oh,
that's
great.
yeah, which is really good fun. And like the
Presumably
la
unknown providence, but even still,
we
there's
think they're prima donna, but they're
okay.
clearly one of the plants isn't, because it's very
No.
different to the others. But that's fun. He's in Cheltenham, so it's a quick harvest and then drive over and then the brew
Awesome.
same
Nice
day.
project though.
So
Yeah,
it's
good way to sort of get people excited about something a bit different in the tap room as
Yeah,
well.
no, it's good fun. It's good fun watching them, like getting photos sent over as they grow through the year and stuff with that. We've done like an English pale ale. We've done a best bitter with those hops. What else? I'm trying to think. What else we've done? We've done sort of a more hoppy than a hoppy red ale
Okay,
with those
nice.
hops as well. So yeah, we try and do something a little bit different.
We did a double IPA, didn't we, with Deevan and Dandy a while back, and that was very strong. Cup of the Creature, and that was one that some people absolutely loved. I think we used Kvik
Oh
yeast
yeah.
with it, so fermented very hot. It terrifyingly quickly.
Oh
It
yeah.
just sort of it's suddenly done. You're like, what? It just,
Yeah.
I think we fermented that at 35 degrees. And
Wow.
we've done
And
a
that
couple of, in
was
fact, we've done a couple of Kvik beers. I really like using that. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right.
It was very fashionable, wasn't it, 2 or 3 years ago, and you don't hear of it so much these days,
Yeah.
but really some really interesting beers, I
Oh
think.
yeah, and it's I mean, it's phenomenal stuff. And we've used two different ones, and they are very, very different really, but they're both excellent. So they were really interesting. And then otherwise, what else have we done? We've done a stout and a few other darker beers, I think. So we do actually do quite a mix of beers. which is, again, I think a lot of fun. And me and Adam both come in from sort of home brewing. I think there's a lot of that excitement still in finding, trying out new things.
Figuring
It's,
out what's next, planning the brew schedule. Yeah, absolutely. Where's the best place for people to get their hands on some Next Stamper beers, either in can or on draft?
okay, so I guess come to the tap room. Great place. We always put the latest beers on. They usually pour first at the tap room unless we've got some event going on where we've agreed to pour with someone else. That's a good place to get the latest cans as well. Otherwise, we're on cellar, so we sell nationally. That's good. But most of our pub customers are pretty local, East London,
So
or
they
the
should be,
London
yeah,
pubs,
if you
mainly
can,
East
yeah.
London, some further out. But that's probably a good place to get the beer.
Definitely. Yep. Then you obviously web shop for cans.
Yeah, web shop
Yep.
as well. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Good. All right. We are at the point where I've got my two wrap-up questions left, but I always pause at this stage to ask the guests if there's anything that you came into this conversation intending to raise that we haven't gotten around to, either about Next Stamper or the industry in
Oh,
general or.
yeah, I wouldn't mind actually, if it's all right, mentioning I've got a little side business called the Rambling Beer Co. And I do beer tastings and tours, often actually with Next Stamper beers
Oh, nice. Yep.
and things like that. So that might be quite nice to mention.
Yeah. So, how does that work, then, Joe?
So I've got a website, and basically I do tours around London. So I
Right.
do two or three a month,
So, that'd be walking
public
tours, would it
tours.
mainly, or public transport
Yeah,
and things like
go
that?
to various tap rooms. I do like a beer, cheese, and meat pairing down in Bermondsey, and
Nice.
then I do a tap room tour around Hackney Wick, and then we sometimes do tastings at the brewery and stuff. And we're looking at doing a bit more of that actually. So
Right.
yeah,
And it's so say the name again. It's the Rambling.
the Rambling Beer Co.
The Rambling Beer Co. Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, that sounds like fun. Yeah, good. Certainly be interested to check that out. All right then, gents. So we are in the home straight, and here I always like to pause and ask the guests to give one or more what I call shout outs to little guys. And here I'm looking for you to mention one or more beer businesses that you think are doing a great job promoting independent craft beer, not just Next Stamper. And that could be another brewery, a tap room, a pub, a bottle shop, even a restaurant or a cafe, but somebody that's somewhat local to you. Okay, so I'll give you sort of North London or North East London, whatever,
Okay.
that you think is doing a great job promoting independent craft beer.
Yeah. So there's a pub in Bow, so East London, called the Angel of Bow.
Okay.
And we've been supplying them since they opened, which is, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And
Right.
Dominic, who runs the pub, he's a good friend of the brewery, and he's great at championing East London breweries. So
Nice.
he's got some standard beers on, and he's also got the 8 or 10 packs of just East London beer, like
Right.
cask and keg. So
Oh,
yeah,
great. Yeah,
if
so
you're
he's
in the
it really
area.
is a local champion. Yeah,
Yeah,
awesome.
he's great at really supporting the East London beer scene. I mean, and he's lucky, I guess. He's got a lot of good breweries to
Some
choose
good
from in
ones to
East
choose
London.
from. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah, so
That's
that's
cool.
some.
You're allowed to have more than one, though. So if you've got others you want to
Yeah.
mention, please crack on.
Yeah, I'd say Tap East in Westfield, Stratford.
Yes, who I had on the
So
podcast just a few weeks ago. Yeah,
you
good
did,
guy. Yeah.
yes. And we're very friendly with them. We did a collaboration brew, two. We did one at ours and one at theirs
Oh,
not that
nice.
long
Yeah.
ago. It was really good. And they've got a really interesting little brew kit there. It's a
Right.
fascinating little thing.
Yeah.
We loved it. And they're great. And Terry, the brewer, is excellent. And the
Yeah.
owners are all excellent. So we, if like me, you sort of have a terrible fear of shopping centres, but you find yourself in them a lot,
Cursed
then it's a
places,
good, that's an
absolutely. Yeah.
amazing place to go and
What a
have a pint
refuge.
and
Yeah, I can
hide.
just imagine.
And
Yeah.
they have really good selection on, and their own beers, which are great. And they sort of supported us a lot, so they take quite a lot of our beer.
Oh, that's
So
great.
yeah.
Nice. Well, look, we are at the wrap-up question then, gents, and I need an answer from each of you here. And this is, what would be your ultimate happy hour? Three parts to this question. Where would you be? Who would you be with? And most specifically, what beer would you be drinking? And one qualifier is that the beer doesn't necessarily need to be naturally available at the venue. So in this fantasy world, you can bring it with you, perfectly chilled and ready to serve to your friends.
I mean, this is a difficult one, obviously, but I'd probably say I'd like to be in Newcastle.
Yes.
Probably
Oh.
in one of the pubs on the Usborne Valley.
Great
So I
pub.
grew like somewhere like the Clooney, or there's a number of good little pubs down there. But I went to university in Newcastle
Oh,
and lived
right.
there for
Brilliant.
quite a few years, and then I've hardly been back since, really,
No.
or not nearly enough. And it's very much feels like home.
Yeah.
So those are sort of some of my old stomping grounds. I used to love going on a pub crawl down the Usborne Valley.
Yes.
So I'd love to be at one of those, like the Clooney or somewhere.
Brilliant.
Probably
Okay.
with some of my old mates from up there as well,
Yeah.
who I haven't seen.
Yeah.
But then they'd be like, "What's happened to you?" Because I'd probably be drinking something like Rodenbach Grand Cru, which is a beer that I just absolutely love. Like, I rattle on, I use it on a lot of my tastings, and it was like,
Nice.
I just love that beer. I think it's such an interesting and unique. The Flanders Red Ale is a very,
Yeah, it's an amazing
it's a
start.
very strange beer, but I absolutely love it. And
Yeah.
you can pair it with any food under the
Yes.
sun, seemingly. It's bizarre. So
Yeah.
I'd be drinking that, and my old friends would be really confused about
Very
who I
few.
was, why I wasn't just drinking some horrible cheap lager or
Well, I don't know about that. I mean,
White
that's
Lightning, maybe. I don't
amazing,
know.
amazing craft beer scene in Newcastle now. So,
There is now
maybe
a
they've
lot of the,
also, yeah.
I mean, in my day, a lot of those, what are craft beer bars now, were all awful trebles bars and stuff like
Sure.
that. So
Yeah.
it's certainly changed, but that it's such a wonderful
A
city.
vibrant
So
city,
that would be,
indeed. Yeah, just
yeah.
on Flanders Red, just for a second. There's so very few UK breweries actually. I mean, I know it's a really challenging style to brew, and one that you need to be very careful with your sort of your hygiene and cross contamination or whatever. But really, there's very few and far between. Holy Goat is the one that really springs to mind as really having nailed that style. But
Ah,
very yeah very
not.
very very few in the UK, sadly. But
I've not tried that. I'll have to get it.
yeah, Holy Goat, man.
Fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah.
Oh,
Adam,
wicked.
over to you.
Yeah, so it's a pretty difficult question, but as I touched on earlier, I'm originally from Cheltenham. That's where I grew up.
Right.
So I would probably say spending an evening in Deyr's tap room
Lovely.
with my old schoolmate, drinking probably Steady Rolling Man,
Sure.
would be an
Good
ideal
choice.
evening.
Yeah, no, quite right. Look, they are fantastic. I'm very happy to say we've secured our tickets for the Little Summer Beer Bash this year, which is back at
Oh,
Dyer on
nice.
the three. They rotate between there, Verdant and LHG, don't they? And it's back in Cheltenham this year, so yeah, I'm super excited about that. Yeah, it'd be great to get down there. They've also got a mixed firm tap room. They've got two tap rooms now, haven't they? So they've got
Yeah, haven't been to that one.
the clean beer and the mixed firm tap room as well. So I'm really excited to see what Gareth and colleagues are turning out in there. I think we're in for a big day.
That
But
sounds good. Sounds good.
it is an amazing
I don't get back often
beer.
enough, but yeah, I should be ready. It's very, very convenient.
Yes, yeah, no excuse if you're going down there to visit your parents. You surely need to kind of figure in a some sort of a Sunday lunch trip to the tap room, whatever.
Yeah, I do. I just don't get home enough. Every time I go home, I do. I just a beer for a few hours, and
Well, it's all right. Good.
that's where I go.
Well, gents, thank you very much for your time. This has been really fun chat. Really enjoyed your beers.
Thank
To
you very
my shame, I
much.
haven't
Awesome.
come. I have never visited you in Leighton yet, but I need to put that right. So I will try, and
Yeah.
that'll be fun. But in the
Yeah, look
meantime,
forward
yeah,
to it.
wish you every success. So it sounds like you're on a good path and having fun what you're doing. So that's always nice to see.
Great stuff.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.